This is Rochelle, the Right Now Coach, and you're at the Right Now Mastermind class for November 2011. My guest today is Nina Amir. Nina Amir is a seasoned journalist, nonfiction editor, author, proposal consultant, blogger, and writing book and author coach with more than 33 years of experience in the publishing field, as well as the founder of Write Nonfiction in November, a blog and writing challenge. She is also a popular speaker on topics related to publishing and writing, and the author of the forthcoming book, How to Blog a Book, Write, Publish, and Promote Your Work One Post at a Time. You can find her online at ninaamir.com, N-I-N-A-A-M-I-R.com. And I will be sending all of you a link to both the recording and Nina's site after the call, as soon as it's posted on the website. She also has a special offer for you, and I'll send you a link to that as well. Welcome, Nina. It's great to have you with us.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here, Rochelle. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I am curious about this blogging a book idea. I've seen that a number of people have done really well. Julie and Julia became a book and then a movie. The Happiness Project started as a blog and became a book. So I'm curious to hear from you. How did you come up with the idea to blog a book?
Well, you know, it was sort of a funny thing that happened. I had heard about, of course, all the things like Julie and Julia, and I just want to digress just for a second to say that this, you know, the trend for blogging books or blog-to-book deals, they said that it was the height of that trend was in 2009, when books like Julia and Julia and Things White People Like and, you know, all these different blogs were being picked up and turned into books. But I have discovered at least 6 books in October that were blogs and were released, and that means that at least, you know, if that trend were to continue every month, if there were at least 6 books released, and those are only the books I know of, 72 books would be released in 2011, and they said that in 2009 there were 50 or 60 blog-to-book deals, so we are already way over that number in 2011. So anyway, so I just wanted to mention that. But I knew about some of these deals, and I had been involved with the San Francisco Writers Conference for quite a number of years, and was asked to go from volunteer at the conference to panelist. And the panel I was asked to be on had to do with blogging. But as part of what the panel was supposed to discuss, was the topic of blogging a book. And when I looked at who was on the panel, there were 3 of us. And one person was tweeting his book out. And he'd already written a book but wasn't getting sales. And so he was going to put his book out in 140-word posts.
Wow.
Yes. And actually, he didn't show up.
Oh,
the other person... So there were only 2 of us. And the other person was quite a successful blogger, but he was really... better known for, I can't even remember what now, and then there was me. There was no one who was an expert on blogging a book, but there it was on the, you know, the description of the panel, and I decided this was a great idea to blog a book. And, you know, because if you blogged a book, you would develop author platform, you would be promoting your book at the same time, you'd be publishing your work at the same time, and you might get discovered and land a deal. And so I started a month before the conference my blog, How to Blog a Book, and with the intention of blogging a book about how to blog a book. That's what I did. And I showed up at the conference with a free blog, not a self-hosted blog, that was, you know, where I had started posting every, you know, 3 to 4 times a week. And that's what I showed, along with my other blogs.
Wow. So why do you think that blogging a book is a good idea for writers?
I have 10 reasons why I think it's a good reason. So I'm going to go through them all, if I may.
I would love that. I would love to hear this.
Okay, so the first reason is that a blog allows you to publish as you write. Bloggers are publishers. They are self-publishers because every time you write a post, there's a little button that you hit that says publish. And what that means is you are publishing your work out on the Internet. And so for many writers, they feel like it's so difficult for them to get their work published and to become self-publishers or traditionally published. And so blogging is a way for you to publish as you write. You don't have to wait. There is no time lag. You just write a post, you stick it up there, and you hit publish, and you are published. You are an author as well as a blogger. So that's the first reason. The second reason is that a blogged book gives you exposure and builds platform, which I already mentioned. To get traditionally published today, you have to have this author's platform, this built-in readership, these people, these fans, followers, whatever, people who know who you are, who will run out and buy your book once it's published. Traditional publishers are looking for that. And if you self-publish, you still need that because these are the people who will run out and buy your book when you say you've released it. So when you blog a book, it gives you that exposure on the Internet, and it builds that author's platform. So you really need that, and that's number two. Number three is that a blog book gives you expert status. Bloggers will tell you that one of the benefits of being a blogger is that they become experts in their field. They produce tons and tons of content on their subject, especially if you're writing nonfiction, or a nonfiction topic. And if you're out there blogging day in and day out on your topic, you become the expert. I am now the expert on how to blog a book. I'm also an expert on blogging. That was not the case 2 years ago. But by just blogging on my topic, I've become the expert. So number four is that a blog book gets your writing read. I don't know one writer who doesn't write to be read. I mean, that's what we all really want in our hearts, is for someone to read what we write. And if you blog and you put your work out there on the Internet in your blog posts and you do some promotion, you will eventually, and it doesn't take long, get readers to your blog, and you will get read. So that's the fourth reason. Number five is that a blog book allows you to test market your book. This is huge. I have had agents tell me to go test market my work, and publishers are picking up these successful blogs because it is the first time in the history of publishing that they can see a test marketed book. All these years they've gotten book proposals, and they look at these ideas and they have to try to figure out whether or not this idea is a good one. But a blog with readers, and lots of readers and lots of page views, is a test marketed idea. They can look at that and say, here is an idea that we know is working. People are flocking to this blog, and they like it. If we produce a printed book on this topic, or that's really similar to this blog, or that has information from this blog, we can feel fairly certain that this book will sell. And that's what a blog does. It allows you to test market your book. And if you can show a publisher that your blog is selling, it has readers, you're more likely to sell the book, self-published or traditionally. So it's a great test marketing tool, and one that's never existed before. Number six is a blog book provides a daily writing commitment. So a lot of writers, we say we don't have time, we don't get it done, and that's kind of like why NaNoWriMo works so well and why Write Nonfiction in November works so well. We give ourselves a deadline. We have to sit down every day for a month, and we have to write. So blogging, if you're going to blog your book, you have to sit down for a certain amount of time every week, and you have to write. You have to provide those posts. So it's a great writing commitment. Number seven is that a blog book allows you to get feedback on your writing. A lot of us go to critique groups in order to get feedback on our writing, or we hire professional editors like myself to give us feedback. But if you're blogging your book, you actually have a comment feature on your blog, and that allows your blog readers to comment and give you feedback, and you can ask for feedback. You can even put up surveys on your blog asking specific questions. Now you're actually getting feedback from the people who would read your book. You have actual readers giving you feedback, and that's, an amazing feature of blogging a book. So number 8 is that a blogged book ensures you complete your manuscript. Now, you could start blogging your book and quit in the middle, but as I usually say, that means that you fail publicly, and most of us don't like to do that. So I think that's a deterrent to stopping in the middle. So, you know, I think that if you start to blog your book and you start to get readers, you are more likely to keep blogging and finish that book. I think you'll complete your manuscript because you have readers there waiting to turn the page to read the next post, because each post is like another page in your book. So I do think that blogging your book will get you to the end. You know, I completed the first draft of my manuscript in 5 months because I blogged 3 to 4 times a week. So I think that it's like having accountability partners out there. You know that someone out there in cyberspace is reading, and it will keep you going. And number 9 is that you get to show off, you know, kind of what you've got in terms of your book. You don't have to show off all of it. You hold back a little bit for your printed book, but you get to show it off, and that's kind of fun. So it's a fun thing to do, to get your writing out there, to get your book out there. And last but not least, by a long shot, number 10 is that a blog book lets you and your book get discovered. This is a wonderful way to get noticed by agents and by acquisitions editors at publishing houses. And it's happening, as I said, every day. There are acquisition editors trolling the internet looking for successful blogs and great blog ideas that they can turn into books. They are calling and emailing bloggers saying, would you like to write a book? I was at Blog World Expo down in Los Angeles. There were 4,000 bloggers and people related to blogging, and Barnes & Noble was there, and Wiley, and the Wiley booth was filled with books related to blogging and with books that were based on blogs. It was amazing.
Wow.
So, yeah, really amazing. And these books are filled with content that has come from the blog. Like my book was 26,300 words or so of my blog, and then I began to revise and edit and add, and it more than doubled in size. So you're producing your first draft, but this is what the editors and agents are seeing online and what they're looking for. And if you don't get discovered, you can make sure you do, which is what I did. I produced a proposal, and I sold the proposal, and I got discovered that way. So those are the 10 reasons, Rochelle.
That is wonderful. Well, you know, one of the things I always wonder about is, like, how do you know if you have enough for a book when you start your blog? Chris Brogan, whose blog became his book on Social Media 101, said that you have to have at least 25 ideas before you start your blog. Otherwise, you know, it's not enough. I'm curious, what do you think the most important things you need to do before you start blogging your book?
Yeah, so that's a great thing that Chris said, because, you know, you are going to be writing about this topic for a long time. So you have to choose a topic carefully. That's the first thing, and that topic should be one you're passionate about and that you do have enough information on. So I always suggest that you hone your subject, get really clear on it, about, you know, make sure that it's unique, that you've looked at the market, who else is blogging on your topic, make sure that, you know, not only are you passionate about it, but that you've chosen a way to approach it that is going to set you apart, just like a book. I mean, just like you would do if you were going to choose a book topic that was going into a brick-and-mortar store, and remember that eventually it will. And then, you know, just like Chris is saying, map out your book's content. I suggest you do a mind map, you know, that you do a big brain dump of all the subjects related to your main topic, and then begin to organize them into chapters. Only in this case, you are going to take those subjects, and you're going to break them down into post-size pieces. So you're not only going to end up with a table of contents, but you're going to end up with subheadings for those chapters that will be tiny you know, because you're writing, your blog posts are going to be 250 to 500 words in length. Most people don't want to read more than a screen's worth. And the more content you provide online, the more often, the higher up in the search engine rankings you're going to go. So it's better to write 5 days a week for 250 words than it is to write once a week with 1,000 words. The search engines are going to find you the more content you provide. They'll find you faster. So I suggest you map out your book's content, you get that table of contents, and you break it down into lots and lots of little topics that you can cover. The more the better. And so that relates to what Chris is saying. So I say more than 25 topics, you know, as many as you can come up with per chapter. And then create a business plan for your book. And by this I mean, you know, I talk about going through what I call the proposal process. You know, get out a book on how to write a book proposal and look at the sections that are in a book proposal. And you don't have to write the book proposal, although if you want to be discovered or you want to eventually send out a proposal, you're going to need to write that proposal. But right now, just go through the sections and accumulate the information that's asked for in each of those sections. And by doing so, you're going to evaluate this idea you have. You're going to look at the markets. You're going to look at the competition. And by this, I mean markets and competition online and off. So you're going to look at all the different blogs and who your markets are online, who your markets are offline, what the competing and complementary books are online and off, and the blogs online. You're going to look at how you're going to promote online and off. You're going to look at whether you're the best author for this or how you could pull in other people to help you with your blog. All these kinds of things. So go through that proposal and go through the process of evaluating your book using the proposal. And that creates for you a business plan because your book proposal is the business plan that publishers use. And if you self-publish, it's your business plan because it is the industry standard when it comes to a business plan for a book. So I suggest that that's what you need before you blog your book. And then, of course, you need a blog. You have to set up a blog. So you will need to do that yourself or get help with that to have a blog. And the blog can serve as your website if you don't have a website.
Wow. This is great. It's such good information, and I think it reminds me that writing a book is writing a book, whether you're doing it post at a time with a blog or in a chunk during National Novel Writing Month or write nonfiction in November. It's work.
It is. it is.
So I'm curious, you know, I've written a lot of books. I've blogged. Tell me a little bit about the differences in the processes between blogging a book and writing a book. How are they different? And what does it look like to blog a book? You know, the thing I guess I'm really curious about is, do you write out of order? Do you get freaked out that you're writing out of order? How does that all fit together for you?
So the way I propose that you do it is not out of order. I suggest that you really do map out the book's content and you start at the beginning. If you go to howtoblogabook.com, which is my blog,
yeah,
you will find that there's a little tab at the top that says page number one. And if you click on that tab, you'll find a link to page number one. And if you start at page number one, you can read the whole book. And it is in order for the most part. Now, when I revised and edited, you know, there were some things I, you know, might have moved around a little bit, but not much because I had an outline. I was working off my outline. That said, because you're blogging, you might discover as you go, just like when you're writing a book, that you missed something or you think of something that you should have added. Now, you have the option when you're blogging of inserting something at a different date, changing the date, or just adding it and say, you know, adding a post and saying, I forgot this, and it, you know, or linking it. There are lots of options that you can do. Now, the fact of the matter is that the majority of blog-to-book deals were not blogged books. They did not do what I'm suggesting.
Mm.
So you can just blog. You can just say, here is the book I want to blog, and I'm going to blog on whatever topic I want today that relates to my book. I mean, here are all my topics. I have it all mapped out. You know, my book is all mapped out, but I'm just going to blog on whatever I want. But it makes it harder for you in the long run, because what I suggest you do is that you create a manuscript, that you have this all mapped out just like you're writing a book. And what you do is every day you sit down with your word processing program, Word or whatever you use. This is how I did it. So I had my Word program and I, you know, my Microsoft Word, and I logged in there and I saw that today my subhead was whatever it was, you know, how to move yourself up in the search engine rankings, or, you know, whatever. Let's just say it was that, and or how to use links, and I would write 250 or 300 words on that topic. And then I would copy and paste it into my post, and I would copy and paste the subhead into the post, and it became the title of that post. And then I would hit publish. And so it was part of the manuscript, and it became a post. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And so you're creating a manuscript at the same time, and for those of us who need something tangible, you can actually be putting the manuscript in a binder. And you can be creating a binder that has your chapters in it that you can be editing and you can be working with. And you have it on the computer and you have it in your blog. If you just do it in the blog, if you sit there every day and you type in, you know, in WordPress, you're going to eventually have to copy and paste all those posts into a word processing program. And that's a pain in the rear. You don't want to have to do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that I do not recommend that. Now, if you have a blog and you've, you know, done that, you know, you've been blogging for a while, you're going to have to eventually, you know, look at doing that. But my recommendation is you do that. So it's not that different. To answer your question, it's not that different than writing a book. However, you are thinking in terms of small posts. You're thinking in terms of, you know, 250 to 500 words. So every day you're cutting it off. And that's why I said it's really the shortest way, you know, the fastest way I know of to write a book, and the easiest way, because every day you sit down, if you're a fast writer, you know, for 30 minutes, just knock out 500 words or 300 words and say, I'm done.
Wow. And that crossing that off the to-do list feels so good.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, that's really, right, that's really what I did. I wrote 3 to 4 days a week. And I have other blogs, so that one was, I added that one in, like, without thinking, going, oh, how to blog a book, I'll do that. You know, I didn't even think about it. Oh, one more blog, and I just added that in there, and then I was like, oh, my goodness, I have to do this, you know. So I did not pick a schedule. You can say I write Monday, Wednesday, Friday on my blog, but I didn't, so I just said, you know, okay, 3-4 days a week, that's what I'll do, and that's what I did for 5 months, and it was like, knock it out, Nina, just, you know, 30 minutes or so, let's just get this written, and that's what I did. You know, 30, 40 minutes to get it up and posted. First, I was doing art with it, you know, illustrations or, you know, some kind of photo or some kind of art with it. I quit. That took longer, and so I just said, forget it. This blog does not get a lot of art because it just takes too long, and I just went with content. And, you know, so you just get it in there, and 3 to 4 days a week for 5 months, and I had 26,000 words.
Wow. That's great. So I'm curious about something you just said a bit ago, which was that the majority of blog-to-book deals are not blogged books. What does that mean, and can you give us some examples of that?
Yeah, I mean, the majority of people are just blogging, and then their blogs get successful, and so then they get approached. There are tons of them. I didn't bring the list down here with me where I went to sit, but... There was a guy who did a blog about his ex-wife left him, and she left her wedding dress behind.
Mm-hmm.
He blogged 101 ways to use my ex-wife's wedding dress. I mean, silly thing, but he blogged and people followed him, and you know, then he got a book deal. There's Jill Smokler. She writes the Scary Mommy blog. And, yeah, she got approached by a publisher. I think it's Gotham, or maybe she wasn't Gotham. Anyway, she got approached by a publisher. She is, you know, using some of her blog material. I think Darren Rouse, the same. You know, I just interviewed him. And Darren Rouse, is a big blogger. His book Pro Blogger is the same name as his blog. And I think he told me that he, you know, took something like 60% or whatever of his blog, and then he started revising. So you have to then pull from your blog. I have a friend, Joel Friedlander. He's a book designer, and he started writing posts about how he was booking his blog. And I have stolen his term with attribution. And that I now call it that, booking a blog. So if you have a blog and you have been writing and you want to turn it into a book, you have to go back and look through your, you know, pick a topic that, you know, maybe you've been on topic all along, but you have to choose what it is your book will be about, and then you have to go back. And I suggest you, if you've been using your categories in your blog well, you know, because usually you pick up a category you will put your post in, and you'll go through the categories and see which categories relate to your book. And hopefully you've categorized well enough that maybe those categories even will serve as chapters. And you can go through each category and then copy and paste posts out of those categories into chapters that you're creating in a Word document. And then you can also look at your tags, because each post should be tagged with search terms. And you should be able to go through and look at specific tags. So if you were writing about cats, maybe, you know your book's about cats, and maybe you look for tags related to feeding for one chapter, or for training for one chapter, or, you know, health issues for one chapter. And so you could go through looking at tags to find posts that fit into each chapter. And you're copying and pasting into your Word document or word processing document, and then you start editing and revising, and that's booking a blog.
I like that, and that has just saved us all from having I could have had a V8 moment. Oh, I could have been writing a book, and
yeah.
I've just been blogging about random things.
Well, right, because, I mean, bloggers produce a huge amount of content, and
yeah.
I have done this. You know, I have several blogs that were not blogged books, but I can tell you that, you know, there's tons of content there that can be repurposed. And I have one blog where I pulled out even just 10 blog posts that were a series. I did it for the Jewish High Holy Days, and there were 10 posts that I did during the 10 days of awe, and I produced that as a book. I put an introduction to it and a conclusion, and I put a little bit of promotional material at the back. And that was done as a series, so it wasn't so hard to book it. You know, I just pulled it out easily. And I created it in a small form, 4x6, and self-published it, and it's up on Amazon, and I also have it in printed form. I did it through a quick digital publisher, and it's also up on Amazon. You can find it. And, you know, and they were blog posts.
That's great. Well, and you mentioned a little bit about how your blog became a book, or is becoming a book, with Writer's Digest. Can you give us some details about how your blog played a part in getting a publishing contract?
Sure. The fact that I had readers and page views, you know, that it was up there as a blog, that I had a platform, was a big deal. And actually, if you put in how to blog a book into the search engine, I come up first.
Wow.
In the search engine. Yeah. So nobody else has that position. And I was adamant that, you know, that this was the time for the book, that it really, you know, we were going to miss the boat if we didn't get out there first with this.
Yeah.
And they started looking around on the internet and saw that I had monopolized the spot, and they looked at that blog and also at my other blogs, and they saw that I was blogging a lot, that I was on the social networks, that I had built. I am not huge, so let me. I want to say that I am not. If you go to my Facebook page or my Twitter page, you'll see I don't have, you know, 40,000 friends, followers, you know, connections, whatever. My page views are not 1,000 a day. Or my readers to my blogs are not 1,000 a day yet. I have, you know, more than a couple hundred a day, but I'm not huge. But it was enough. And especially with several blogs combined, it was enough to impress them. along with my social networking and with my connections, because I had people who I connect with who were willing to help me promote.
Mm-hmm.
And that was enough to impress them. Every publisher today, traditional publisher, wants to see an author or an aspiring author who has a blog, who has readers, has page views, and who is doing the social networking to make connections and to build a platform. So the blogs really were huge.
That's great. So, you know, I'm sure a lot of us out here listening are wondering, okay, I've been blogging for a couple of years. I wonder if my blog can become a book. And so I'm wondering, can any blog become a book? Are there certain criteria that you would ask us to think about as we, you know, try to consider our blog?
Yeah, I would say not any blog can become a book. If you want to know if your blog can become a book, I'd ask these questions. Does what I have to say on my blog add value? Because most books that sell add value. Is there a market for the book? And, you know, that's always the question that a publisher is going to ask, and even as a self-publisher you have to ask, is there a market for my book? Who are my readers? You know, do I have readers? Are there people out there? And that goes with the market question. You know, who are my readers? And what's my competition? You have to know, what's my competition? And, you know, can I fit in there with that competition? Is there a hole in the cyber bookshelf, you know, in terms of blogs, in terms of e-books? And is there a hole on the brick-and-mortar shelf?
Mm-hmm.
So what's my competition? Is my topic or approach to the topic unique? You know, how will I position myself in the market? Who will promote, you know, or not who, but how will I promote my blog book to attract readers? And I mean that in every sense of promote, both with social networks, with speaking, with anything you can think of that you can do, think outside the box about how you're going to promote your blog book. What content will I include in my blog book? And what's on my blog? You know, so what content's in my blog now that maybe I can book? What content do I still need to add? You know, anything along those lines. You know, what content do I have, and is it worthy of a book? And how am I going to organize the book? And thereby my blog, or what I already have in terms of content. You know, these are all questions to ask, and actually they all go back to that proposal process. These are all questions that you're going to ask if you're producing a proposal. So, you know, and for your blog to actually get discovered, you're going to have to drive traffic to your website, and you're going to have to do that, you know, every day. It's an effort to drive traffic to your website, and you're going to have to write great copy day in and day out, and you're going to have to blog often and regularly. Now, it doesn't have to be every day, but you do have to blog often and regularly.
Yeah, great tips there. I really appreciate that. It's, you know, it's really good, I think, for us writers to think about evaluating our work up front. And I love it that you include self-published, indie-published, and e-books in our consideration of competition, because they definitely are part of our competition. And I think the average reader may not know the difference between indie-published, self-published, traditionally published. They're all just kind of out there on Amazon or on wherever we're looking. And so it doesn't matter that the book that we're thinking is a competitor wasn't traditionally published. It's still out there, and we have to consider it.
Right. That's true.
So in your introduction to how to blog a book, you mentioned that you'd previously started 8 or 9 books but not finished them. So I'm wondering how to blog a book was different for you.
Well, you know, as a nonfiction writer, when you propose books to publishers, and I was a what I call a traditional publishing holdout, you write book proposals, and you add, you know, into that book proposal a couple chapters, you know, 25 or 30 pages, and then you wait to find out whether somebody accepts your book, you know, buys your book, and you may go on to another project in the meantime or do other things, and so that's what happened for me. I did take some of those ideas and produce them in short form so I could go out and build platform. You know, I would produce booklets and I would go out and speak. But I started a lot of projects that didn't get finished because I was waiting for someone to say, okay, Nina, you know, you're good enough, your work is good enough, I like your idea, I'll take this project on. And with How to Blog a Book, I just went full steam ahead. I just said, I'm blogging a book. And I sat down and I did it. And then I wrote the proposal and gave it to my agent and said, here it is. And she said, this is cool, I'll take it on. And, I mean, she already knew it was coming. So I didn't have to land an agent, I have to say that. You know, I was lucky I already had one. But I had already committed to the book. I mean, it was out there already in cyberspace. I'd already produced a manuscript. So at that point, I was so committed that I knew that even if I didn't get it traditionally published, I was going to edit it myself, I was going to get it done, and I was going to self-publish it. So one way or another, the book was going to get done, because I already had a manuscript.
Wow. I love that. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, to me, if you blog that book, you are, you know, you're so committed and you have a product. You've already produced a product.
I just am kind of thinking what a similar story we have, because in November 2009, I decided to write a song during National Novel Writing Month. With the idea, I mean, I was planning all along to then turn around, write a book proposal, give it to my agent, and try to sell it. But I didn't wait. I went ahead and created a website for it and created all the platform support for it. And I was fully planning on self-publishing until the book proposal hit with Writer's Digest and I got a book contract. So it's interesting because it's the exact opposite way that most of us operate as non-professional nonfiction writers. So I want to turn a little bit to Write Nonfiction in November. And NaNoWriMo, and I'm curious to hear how you started hosting Write Nonfiction in November.
Well, it kind of has a tie-in with NaNoWriMo because I've been doing nonfiction for so long. And back when I was in high school, I actually had a dream of being a novelist, and my mother turned me away from that idea and said, oh, you know, only really, really good writers make a living as novelists. And so I took that to mean that maybe I wasn't that kind of writer, and I took a journalism class in high school and went on and got a degree in magazine journalism, and all I had been doing since then was nonfiction with, I think, one little foray in college into a, you know, creative writing class. So about 6 years ago, I decided I would take a break in November and do NaNoWriMo, and I did, and I produced a novel, which I must say needs work, but I took it to the San Francisco Writers Conference, and I pitched it, and I won the pitch contest that year. But I was told that the novel is good but needs some editing, so it's still sitting with me. But the next year, I thought, what is it that we nonfiction writers do in November? We have nothing. We could be a nano rebel, but who wants to be a rebel? We want, you know, we want our own event. You know, we don't want to be a rebel. We want to be the real thing. So I created Write Nonfiction in November, and I didn't have the means to create something like NaNoWriMo with the word counting mechanism and all of that. So I just created a blog, and I challenged people to start and finish a work of nonfiction in 30 days. And I thought, okay, how am I going to entice them over here? And I thought, I'll blog. I'll do 30 days of a blog about how to write, publish, and promote nonfiction. You know, I've been doing this for all these years, and I've been involved at the San Francisco Writers Conference for many years, and I know a lot. I'll do a big brain dump of everything I know. And that's what I did for, I think, 27 or 28 of the 30 days of the month. I offered all this information. And then the next year, I had to struggle with the fact that, you know, I had to do it again. What am I going to write about for another 30 days? And that was when I started bringing in guest bloggers. to help. And I would do about 5 or 6 of the posts out of the month, and the guest bloggers would do the rest of them. And we're in our 5th year, and this year I've added in some teleseminars. Matter of fact, later today I have Penny Sansevieri, who wrote Red Hot Internet Publicity. She will be doing a teleseminar if anybody wants to join us. They can go to my website, copyrightcommunications.com, and there's a place to click, and they can join us at 2:30 Pacific time. Anyway, so that's how it started.
That's great. Well, I would like to open up our conversation to listeners. I have some more questions, but I want to give them a chance to talk to you. So does anybody have a question for Nina that they would like to throw out? And if you need to unmute yourself, if you're already muted, you can unmute your line by pushing *7. So people, right now, Mastermind folks, do you have any questions?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Maybe this seems kind of obvious, and I think I'm missing something here, but I'm just thinking, if you're very aggressive about blogging and you're blogging daily and you're pretty much writing your book on your blog, aren't you giving the book away? How does your audience then become paid buyers of your book?
So that's a pretty common question, so don't feel like you're being silly asking that. The fact of the matter is that the way a blog works, it can be a little difficult to, you know, if you come in halfway through or even if you started at the beginning, to go back and find the information. So typically if somebody really likes a blog, they will want the book. And if they really like you, the blogger, they will want to support you and buy your book. The other thing is you are creating the first draft online. And as I said, I wrote 26,300 or so words in those 5 months. The book is now more than double its size. And I withheld 2 chapters. And so my book has new content. So not only is it double the size, so there's actually way more content, but there were things that I intentionally held back that they will gain by buying the book. So when you offer the printed book, you're not giving them just what's on the blog. You're giving them more information. And so they will want the book because they're going to want that extra information you're providing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
And that's what you want to, that's also what you want to tell a publisher, that you have more. You will give them, you know, you have these extra features, these extra chapters, whatever, that you have gained readers because you gave them this much information, but you have all this new information that has not been published.
Yeah, and I love the idea. I've bought several blog into books, and not because I've read the whole blog, but just because I've read a few posts and liked it, like the Happiness Project book. And I like, as a reader, to have everything all together and kind of like to know that I can resource it anytime and that I don't have to like be online, although you can pretty much be online 24/7 if you want to.
Right, but you have to go on the blog and put something in the search engine and look for it, and this way you have the book in your hand.
Yeah, with the index and the table of contents.
Right.
So, other questions for Nina?
I have a question. Can you see? Okay. I'm just wondering, when you put all that information out there, even though you push the publish button, is that considered copyright material, that you're not concerned that somebody else will say, wow, what a great idea, and, you know, if you will, steal your thunder?
So that's a great question. I get asked that a lot. When you hit the publish button, actually you have copyrighted your material. The best way to ensure that it is fully copyrighted is to also print it out. As soon as you print something and you have a hard copy, it is copyrighted. You can also send some of it off. I mean, if you're producing a manuscript, you can send it off to the copyright office. And you can get a copyright on it, which will protect you in a court of law. As for it being stolen on the Internet, for the most part, I have found that people are very good at, you know, saying, I saw this post, and, you know, they may copy it or whatever, but they will attribute it to you, and that's what you want, because they usually are linking back to your blog, and the more links that go to and from your blog, the higher you rise in the search engines. And that's a good thing. So you want people saying, I read this, and, you know, linking back to you. Occasionally, you will find your posts what they call scraped, which is a term I only just learned when I went to Blog World Expo. And that is that they will copy and paste it and stick it somewhere without the attribution. And I found something of mine recently on a site where they are just taking actually the best of the best. I mean, it's like all the great bloggers on certain topics are having their posts are showing up there. And the big problem, you know, for the most part, it says by so-and-so. There's a byline. But the problem with that is that their site is higher in the search engine rankings. So it means your stuff is not, you know, your site falls in the rankings. And you can go and you can complain to them and try to get them to remove your post. But it's really not done maliciously. It's really done almost as a compliment. But in terms of the copyright, you do own the copyright.
But what you just explained, when they do the scraping, are they giving credit where credit is due that it is your material?
It was a bylined piece that I found that they took, but the byline was, it was a guest blogger of mine, but I always write an introduction to it, so it actually did not say it came from my website, you know, from my blog. So the part that I'd written was not attributed to me. It did not say it came from writenonfictioninnovember.com. So okay. I did have an issue with that. So you do have to watch. You do have to keep your eyes open. But nobody, you know, I don't find that people are stealing blogged books. No, I don't find that they're stealing whole ideas for the most part. You know, I was, you know, with how to blog a book, I was a little concerned because I thought it was such a new and unique idea. And I did see little, you know, I have a Google alert. If you don't know about Google alerts, you know, put in Google alert into your search engine and you'll see you can put in alerts for different terms that you write about and you can get little alerts every day that tell you when something's coming up on your subject. And I have one for how to blog a book. And every once in a while, I would find somebody teaching how to blog a book. And I knew that I was the first one to have come up with that idea. And that was one of the things I really pushed for with Writer's Digest was, you know, and with my agent, was we have to land a book deal for this soon or I am self-publishing. Because, you know, I was a little afraid somebody would run with that idea. So you have to make those decisions. How unique is your idea and, you know, how worried are you? But I blogged on that topic for, you know, I mean, it took us 2 years. By the time I started to the time I landed the deal, it was, you know, almost 2 years. So, and nobody stole it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have other questions? So, I'm curious if you can link together Write Nonfiction in November and blogging a book. How do those two fit together?
Well, you know, Write Nonfiction in November, like NaNoWriMo, it's a challenge to start and finish something in a certain time period. And I think that blogging a book is similar in that you have this sense of having a challenge to start and finish. You know, you nobody's saying you have to finish blogging your book by a certain time, but you do have this sense that you are on a deadline every day. Mm. And what I tell people is I give people what I call the blog-to-book challenge, and that is to write a blog post every day or at least 5 times a week, and you will have a book in a year or in less than a year. You know, even if you wrote 3 days a week like I did, you will have a book in a year. So that's my challenge to them. So that's how I tie blogging a book and write nonfiction in November together, you know, with this blog-to-book challenge. Write a post every day or a minimum 3 times a week, and you will have a book in a year.
Wow. Now, I'm curious about fiction writers. You know, I know that Dickens had written some of his books as serial chapters in a newspaper.
I see online that a number of fiction writers are blogging their books, you know, chapter by chapter or scene by scene. I'm curious if you found in your research, if you found that that was successful or if that was less successful than the nonfiction route.
I don't know if it's more or less successful, but I think that it's still a great way to get your book out there. If you're having trouble, I've heard of several people who have said to me, I am having trouble getting published, and I am going to now blog my book. You know, I'm going to start posting it in small pieces to lead people along and gain a readership. And once I have a readership to the blog, I will then, you know, either self-publish or I will approach a traditional publisher, because this is a way for me to gain readers. And the thing is that, you know, a lot of novelists don't like to blog, and they're not using blogs effectively, and there's so many things you can blog about in conjunction with your novel.
Mm.
So, you know, I'd almost say do both. Have a blog where you're blogging your novel in little bits and pieces, and then have a blog where you're talking about things related to your novel.
Wow.
So, you know,
that's
talk
great.
About your writing process, talk about, you know, recipes related to where if your novel takes place in Italy, talk about recipes, talk about traveling to Italy to do research, just anything that relates to your novel, so that you're attracting people who are interested in that, you know, anything, any topics related to your novel.
Yeah, that's great. Are there other questions for Nina?
I have a question, but it's a little bit off topic. Would you mind?
No, that's fine. Great.
Okay, just it is about blogging, but if someone has a blog, and, you know, whatever the topic is, and you are a guest blogger on their blog, is your material still copyrighted to yourself?
You own it. I mean, nobody's ever asked me that question, to be honest, but you are the guest blogger, so my thought is that you own the material. I mean, you can always ask the blogger, but for instance, I have all those guest bloggers on Write Nonfiction in November, and I would have to ask their permission if I were to use that material elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I consider them still owning rights, and I know that somebody, Dana Lynn Smith, she produced a book where she used some of her guest bloggers in that book, and she asked permission. So she also dealt with it with my guest blog post as if I still owned the rights to it.
Okay. Good. And then as a guest blogger, are guest bloggers always just guests, or are guest bloggers ever paid for the work that they do?
That's a great question. You know, somebody recently approached me asking me if they could pay me to run their post. So I guess that happens. But typically, you know, in my experience, guest bloggers do not get paid. They just, you know, it's a promotional thing we do because we get what's called a resource box. We get that little bio at the end where we can say who we are and put links to our websites and our blogs and our books. And that's what we want. This is free publicity for us. And so most of us are more than happy to do a guest blog post. It has become the, you know, one of the best ways to promote ourselves as writers and authors. And I have to tell you that the first time that I started soliciting for guest blogs, I got reamed out for it, for
wow.
not paying. And yes, publicly on the internet, from someone who had a newsletter with 70,000 people on it, and she reamed me out publicly for it.
Wow.
Yes, and
wow.
Now everyone does it for free, and, you know, I still can't believe she did that. But
wow.
Little did she know that it would become the way of the world on the Internet. So, yes, we typically do it for free because it's great promotion.
Well, I'm sorry to have taken up so many questions, but Michelle always has good guests, and I wanted to thank you for having us today. It was a great learning experience. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for stopping in. Other calls? Other questions? quite
believe
cool.
All that information. No question.
We've got a lot of sound. Yes, yeah, so if anybody wants to mute themselves, that's great. Hopefully, I would start muting people, but then I'd probably end up muting myself and Nina, and that's not going to work. I want to remind you all that Nina's site is ninaamir.com, N-I-N-A-A-M-I-R.com, and from there you can get to all of her sites. I also want to let you all know, I'm going to do some muting so you can hear me. I also want to let you all know that we'll be meeting again next month on December 16th, so keep your eye open. And I'll be sending you an email as soon as this recording is posted. And we will, Nina has a special offer for you, which is really lovely, and so I'll send you the link to that and a link to the recording of this. Nina offered a lot of really solid information, and it might be great to just get that written down. So thanks, everybody, and remember to write. Take care. Thanks, Nina.